Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, from a slathering of homemade strawberry jam and a fresh scone to tangy tomato chutney on your sandwich, have you ever been tempted to try making your own? Well, here to tell us more on how to get started, I'm joined by Tara Gartland, owner of Tara Gartland Chocolate, an award-winning pastry chef. Good morning, Tara.
Hi, how are you?
Thanks very much for coming in.
Oh, it's not a problem.
A chocolatier and pastry chef, but you're here today to talk about homemade jams and chutney. So how did you develop the passion for that?
So I happen to come from a family of women with a lot of green thumbs. So my granny and my mum would both be phenomenal. They'd have beautiful gardens. Like, they'd be full of fruit and vegetables. And I happen to don't like food waste. That's, right, you know, side effect of being a chef. You know, everything has a use, everything can be used. So I have a lot of hodgepodge recipes of jam, but I love using up the fruit. And I also think it's a beautiful way to preserve the flavour of summer or autumn, depending on what type of stuff you're using.
Okay, so should people be intimidated? Is jam easy?
So it is easy, but it's very scary because, first of all, it gets very hot. It can spit at you. It could burn you. It also ruins the backsplash when you're doing it. And you're going, how am I going to get this boiling liquid into these tiny little jars? And it's all very hot. And basically, tea towels are your best friend and a large pot is your best friend. And there's also, you know, it's a little bit technical. If you don't have the right amount of fruit or you don't put the right amount of sugar, it's not going
to
work.
Well, thankfully, you're here to help us with that. So what's the right equipment where you could maybe cut down on the backsplash and
So I always recommend you need a much larger pot than you think, because jam, as it cooks, the fruit might be sitting at the very bottom of your pot, but it will boil up. Especially as you add your sugar and your acid, you get different reactions. But the same as when you put a pot of cream or something on the stove and you go to boil it. It can boil over. And that would be an absolute nightmare. So larger pot than you think. You need to have two tea towels on hand because the side of the pot will get very hot.
Right.
And a very long, you can get them in like your normal shops at home, but a long handled wooden spoon is great. Or pastry chef, I use a heatproof spatula. There's like, they're like this long. They're great. Right.
About a foot and a half.
Yeah. And they're great because they also stop you from having to put your hand in so close to the pot. So then your hand is up here. It feels a lot safer.
Okay, perfect. Anything else? Jams and
cloths,
anything else?
Yeah. So you would also want to, I personally love a jam funnel and a ladle for pouring in. Some people go really rough and tilt the pot and then they've jam over it. I think a jam funnel is great. It's got a little heart-shaped spout on the bottom. So what happens is, because the jam is so thick, by the time you're finished cooking, it can get trapped and cause air bubbles. So the little heart shape prevents this from happening. And a ladle just makes it easy, pop in, and the funnel will generally have a little loop that you can lift it up and move it from jar to jar.
Okay, and sterilizing your jar is very important.
It is, because one of the main downfalls, let's say you made jam and you think you did a great job and you followed the recipe, but maybe you didn't clean the inside of the jars. You could introduce bacteria, or the jars weren't hot when you put the jam in, then you won't get a proper seal. So when you seal your jars, you put your lid on, it has to be hot, and so does the jar, and so does the filling. When you go to cinch it, as in twist it, it will puff up with air, that's normal, and then as it cools down, the lid will contract, and that's how you know you've closed your jars correctly. But if they weren't clean, you could open it and get a nasty little surprise of some mold or some blue furries on the top.
Yeah. All right.
Which wouldn't be great.
Okay, so we're going to go for strawberry, so you can talk us through the technique. How much do you need, and take it from the top?
I had to give myself a little refresher yesterday. I made some strawberry jam, which I've brought in. And I will say, the flavour when you open fresh jam is unrivaled, especially when you grew the berries yourself. I like to I don't want to make 10 batches of jam. I want to make one big batch. So what I do is I take my strawberries from the garden, or if you had any strawberries that were on the edge in your fridge, you could just rinse them, take the green top off and pop them into your freezer once they're dry. And then I would normally do at least 1 kilo of fruit. So for 1 kilo of fruit, you need at least a 60% amount of sugar. I use 1,200 gram strawberries and 800 gram sugar. That's just me. Normally I happen to grab a bag of strawberries. That's normally what's in them.
Okay. And what else?
So you also need lemon juice. I don't like jam sugar personally, because different fruits set thicker for jam, so are naturally high in pectin. So pectin is naturally found in lemon zest or orange zest. and the peel, as and the juice helps the increase the acidity.
Okay. So you have to apply the heat and get the stuff in the pot. What's the sequence?
So I normally put the fruit in because mine's normally frozen. So I pop it into the pot with the lemon juice and zest, and you can use a grater to like zest it. You want it quite thin because you want it to cook down. So you don't want to use like a peeler that you'd use for your spuds. So I would pop that on, set it aside to cook, and you want to see some juices coming out before you add your sugar. And once you add your sugar, the berries will start to get a bit juicier. And every time you add your sugar, you want to make sure you stir. And I add it gradually to prevent a large clump of sugar burning. And then you stir, keep an eye on it. While that's on, you should have your jars in your oven at a low temperature in a roasting tray with about an inch or two of water outside the jars, not inside. And that will keep them nice and warm and also prevent them from cracking in the oven.
Okay. And you also have three plates in the freezer as well.
Yes, sorry. You know your stuff now.
Well, I know your stuff would be more accurate. Go on, yeah.
But so the jars in the freezer, if you don't have a temperature probe or a jam thermometer, I find this is the old school method. It's the way my mom and granny taught me years ago, and it never fails me. So the frozen side plate, when you take a little teaspoon of jam that you think is ready, you pop it onto the plate. Obviously, it'll cool down much quicker. And then you can just basically check the setting. I like to check the setting by tilting the plate upright and pushing my finger through it. And when you push your finger through, if when you tilt it to the side, then if the jam fills the gap, it's not set. It's not ready. Now, then normally by the third time you've checked, the second one will give you a good indicator. The third one will be either set or not, and you'll kind of go. But jam is also subjective. Some people like a runny jam. Some people like a thick set. And if they don't like the way you've made your jam, that's their problem.
And don't give up after the first time. Sadly, we won't get to chutneys today. We might have to have you back for that. But there you go. Get cracking on your strawberry jam.